Father, I pray that what we may say and hear this morning is what you have for each of us, and that your flame will continue to burn in our hearts. Amen. So as Susan has mentioned, we are studying the book of Job, and thank you for that beautiful reading. And today we focus on that chapter 3. So the events in the book of Job happened about 4,000 years ago. The author is unknown. Some scholars have guessed on Moses or maybe even Solomon, because that was around the time of the patriarchs. The book, as Carl has mentioned to us on previous weeks, is set in the land of Uz, which is likely northeast of Palestine. And the protagonist is Job. He loves God. He's a righteous, wealthy family man. And Satan accuses Job of loving Yahweh for what God gives and not who God is. And Satan predicts that Job will curse God if Job suffers. So as an experiment, Satan is allowed to kill most of Job's family and to make Job very ill. Four of Job's friends come along to sympathise with him. And this morning, we consider a couple of big questions that this raised by Job 3, and then we'll dig into Job's personal experience. I think our reading sometimes gets reactions a bit like, if God is love, then why is there suffering? And in my understanding, Job 3, on its own, is silent on the origin and meaning of suffering. However, I think that if we take scripture as a whole, there are some answers. So as a very swift idea, our loving Heavenly Father doesn't want anyone to be ill or hurt. That's partly why he created Eden, where everything was good. But humans sinned, consequently all relationships are spoilt and suffering entered creation. And I think I counted three times that pain was mentioned in the story of the fall. And God asks us to obey him. Sin harms us and our relationships with others, God and creation. And I don't think Jesus really wants anyone to suffer either. So he took the capital punishment for humanity's sin. Jesus loves everyone. So he died to overcome pain caused by spoilt relationships and by sin. And Christ doesn't want people to have suffer hell, so salvation is open to all. And I think the Trinity want to avoid hurt, so believers will live with them in paradise for eternity. In paradise, there is no more death or mourning or crying or pain. This is the promise we are given. So the Trinity don't cause pain. Instead, they offer eternal life in perfect loving relationships. This is our hope. This is the massive promise we are given. And I think our reading also raises a key question about death. Job asks why people can't die when they feel they are ready. So I know this is a bit of a debate. Some people of all faiths and none think that euthanasia is a kind way to end painful terminal illness. And also, really very recently, two professors in Canada argued in a journal article that assisted suicide should be available for people in unjust circumstances. I happen to disagree, as I believe that Job 3 teaches that God chooses the time of death. Plus, in my understanding, a way of speaking of the sixth commandment would be to cherish human life. So turning on now to Job's personal experience, Job is massively suffering and he's physically ill because Satan's been allowed to make him physically ill. And he shows some symptoms of depression. He has no motivation or interest in things. He sees no enjoyment in life. He feels abandoned by God. Job Job thinks that death is better than his current life. He has no appetite. At one point he says, sighing is my daily food. So, I mean, Job's just in this awful place. He's absolutely in turmoil. So another way of looking at the situation would be not that Job is suffering symptoms of depression. Some people interpret it as Job grieving. And that would be expected, given that he's lost most of his family, all of his possessions, his wealth, his health, and his friends' good opinion. And I looked it up, and on grief and depression, the NHS says it can be difficult to distinguish between grief and depression. They share many of the same characteristics, but there are important differences between them. Grief is an entirely natural process as a response to loss, while depression is an illness. People who are grieving find their feelings of sadness and loss come and go, but they're still able to enjoy things and look forward to the future. In contrast, people who are depressed constantly feel sad. They find it difficult to enjoy anything or to be positive about the future. And I personally found that a really helpful distinction between depression and grief. So whether Job is grieving or depressed, he is in a right state, isn't he? This poor man is in turmoil. So regarding responding to bad times, those dark times, the kind of thing that we hear in Job and that Susan mentioned earlier, Satan argues that if Job suffers, he will curse God. Satan is wrong. He's just so wrong. Job does not curse God. Job curses the day he was born and craves death. And amazingly, even in this situation, Job has faith. Amazingly, Job has faith. He is honest and right living. And likewise, Christians are empowered by the Holy Spirit to love and obey God in bad times. Hold that thought, because we'll come back to it. Mentioning the Holy Spirit brings us on to that today is Pentecost. And Pentecost, as Susan mentioned, is an Old Testament festival. Jews from all over the world were visiting, from all over the ancient world were visiting Jerusalem on the Pentecost just after Jesus' resurrection. And likewise, Jesus' original disciples were also together for that festival. And next, the Holy Spirit comes like a rushing wind, mighty rushing wind, and looking like tongues of flame into their meeting. The disciples received the Holy Spirit in their hearts, a part of Christ as a heavenly deposit in their hearts. And God's laws are then written into their hearts. And the Paraclete empowers the disciples to speak in foreign languages and boldly tell the wider community about God's mighty works. So international visitors hear the wonders of God in their first languages. Alleluia, our God is amazing. And returning to that earlier thought, this mighty Pentecostal spirit lives in us and empowers us to worship God and to obey him at all times. Even in bad times, the Holy Spirit empowers us to put God first and spend time with him, to respect our carers, to be loyal and honest, to be satisfied with what we need. And the Spirit's power is demonstrated through honesty and through holy living during suffering. And you might think, well, yeah, that sounds great, Jackie, but, you know, that's not real life, you know. And absolutely, people's experiences do vary, and I haven't experienced everything that everybody here has experienced, that is for sure, absolutely. A little bit of the real life experience that I've had, for example, is that when my dad was well, some of his church family used to moan that he was headstrong and opinionated. Well, that was fairly fair. And later on, he had Parkinson's disease and he struggled to walk, he struggled to sit, he struggled to speak. A full service was actually a pretty challenging request. Still, he shuffled to chapel week in, week out, to go to services and joined in every way he could. And then his church family used to say to me, "Your dad, he's such an inspirational fighter. He's committed to Jesus, worshipping and fellowshipping." And Dad's church was seeing the Spirit work in my dad's response to suffering because he was still living out his commitment to Christ as much as he could, as he had always done. But interestingly, they noticed it in his suffering. So on mental health, some Christians do get depressed or have other mental health issues. I haven't had depression, but I have had stress. Whilst I was being treated, I made sure I went to a Christian counsellor. She got stress. Hopefully, I wasn't the stress. That is my prayer, okay? So I'm hoping that I wasn't the stress. I think it was probably to do with her wider life situation. And people do get different levels of depression, and each person's experience really, really differs. And God enables humans to develop science and in turn means of healing, like medicine, medical practice, medicines, therapies, and so on. Prayer and the Holy Spirit are also powerful. If you are depressed or have any illness, please do seek both spiritual and NHS help. So one really big thing for me is that Job is honest about his grief and depression. And likewise, the Spirit of truth compels us to be honest. The Holy Spirit we've received is the Spirit of truth, and she compels us to be honest. And God honours honesty. Later on in Job, God honours honesty. Try to tell God everything you think and feel. Try to tell God your pain, your joy, and everything in between. He is our Father, and he loves us. And having an honest relationship is the best thing we can have. And there's more on honesty. Even in Job's turmoil, there are some positives. Job has his faith. In my reading, he's not suicidal. Job is spending time with people and he's talking. He's talking about his feelings. In bad times, as I think Susan's explanation and experience illustrated, in bad times, it's important to try to hold on to positive biblical truths. In tough times, honestly thanking Jesus for any positive can be really difficult, but it may also be helpful. In down times, I have played Christian songs really, really loudly to hear the Spirit of truth and switch my negative thoughts to God's truths. And then I was able to thank God for those truths. And thanking Jesus includes, it helps our relationship with him because it includes putting him in his right place. And honestly thanking Jesus also bears love for Christ. Let's end in a short prayer. Father, thank you for your eternal perfect love. Christ, thank you that you will return and bring justice. Spirit of truth, empower us to be honest. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I invite the musicians to prepare to lead us in song. And While they're doing that, I'd just like to mention that if you are affected by any of the service content that anybody's said or sung, myself, Susan, Dawn, and Carol will be available after the service to pray with you in ways that you request. Thank you.